to day 70 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Joshua 21 to 23. Cities allotted to the Levites. Then the heads of the families of the Levites came to the priest Eleazar and to Joshua, son of Nun, and to the heads of the families of the tribes of the Israelites. They said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given towns to live in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock." So by command of the Lord, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, so those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot 13 towns from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The rest of the Kohathites received by lot 10 towns from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. The Gershonites received by lot 13 towns from the families of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, from the half-tribe of Manasseh and Bashan. The Merarites, according to their family, received 12 towns from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun. These towns and their pasture lands the Israelites gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Simeon, they gave the following towns mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites who belonged to the Levites, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture land around it. But the fields of the towns and its villages had been given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and his holding. To the descendants of Aaron, the priests, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the slayer, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ain with its pasture lands, Judah with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 towns out of these 2 tribes. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 towns. The town of the descendants of Aaron, the priests, were 13 in all with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites, belonging to the Kohathite families of the Levites, the town allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem, the city of refuge for the slayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Kibzaim with its pasture lands, and Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the tribe of Dan, Eltik with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 towns. The towns of the families of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all, with their pasture lands. To the Gershonites, one of the families of the Levites, were given out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Banash and Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the slayer, and Bishtira with its pasture lands, 2 towns. Out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its pasture lands, Dabarathoth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, and Ganim with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkoth with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh and Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the slayer, Hamath Dor with its pasture lands, and Katarn with its pasture lands, 3 towns. The towns of the several families of the Gershonites were in all 13 with their pasture lands. To the rest of the Levites, the Merarite families were given out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokdeam with its pasture lands, Kartah with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Nahalal with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jazah with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Mephtal with its pasture lands, 4 towns. Out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the slayer, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, 4 towns in all. As for the towns of the several Merarite families, that is, the remainder of the families of the Levites, these allotted to them were 12 in all. The towns of the Levites within the holding of the Israelites were in all 48 towns with their pasture lands. Each of these towns had its pasture lands around it, so it was all these towns. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to their ancestors that he would give them. And having taken possession of it, they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, not the Lord had, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. The eastern tribes returned to their territories. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have observed all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed me in all that I have commanded you. You have not forsaken your kindred these many days down to this day, but have been careful to keep the charge of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your kindred, as he promised them. Therefore, turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Take good care to observe the commandment and instruction that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half, Joshua had given a possession besides their fellow Israelites in the land west of the Jordan. And when Joshua sent them away to their tents and blessed them, he said to them, "Go back to your tents with much wealth and with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and with a great quantity of clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your kindred." So the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home, parting from the Israelites at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, their own land, of which they had taken possession by command of the Lord through Moses. A memorial altar east of the Jordan. When they came to the region near the Jordan that lies in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of great size. The Israelites heard that the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar opposite the land of Canaan in the region near the Jordan across from the Israelites. And when the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh to make war against them. Then the Israelites sent the priest Phinehas, son of Eleazar, to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, and with him 10 chiefs, one from each of the tribal families of Israel, every one of them the head of a family among the clans of Israel. They came to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh and the land of Gilead, and they said to them, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this treachery that you have committed against the God of Israel in turning away from the following the Lord by building yourselves an altar today in rebellion against the Lord? Have we not had enough of the sin at Peor, from which even yet we have not cleansed ourselves, and for which a plague came upon the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away today from following the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. But now, if your land is unclean, cross over into the Lord's land where the Lord's tabernacle now stands, and take for yourself a possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building yourselves an altar other than the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, son of Zerah, break faith in the matter of the devoted things? And wrath fell upon all the congregation of Israel, and he did not perish alone for his iniquity. Then the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said in answer to the heads of the families of Israel, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it was in rebellion or in breach of faith towards the Lord, do not spare us today for building an altar to turn away from the following the Lord, or if we did so to burnt offerings or grain offerings or offerings of well-being on it, may the Lord himself take vengeance. No, we did it from fear that in time to come your children may say to our children, 'What have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you Reubenites and Gadites, you have no portion in the Lord.' So your children might take our children, cease to worship the Lord. Therefore we said, 'Let us now build an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you and between the generations after us, that we do perform the service of the Lord in his presence with our burnt offerings and sacrifices and offerings of well-being, so that your children may never say to our children in time to come, you have no portion in the Lord. And we thought, if this should be said to us or to our descendants in time to come, we could say, look at this copy of the altar of the Lord that our ancestor made, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away this day from the following the Lord by building an altar for burnt offerings, grain offering, or sacrifice other than the altar of the Lord our God that stands before his tabernacle. When the priest Phinehas and the chiefs of the congregation, the heads of the families of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manassites spoke, they were satisfied. The priest Phinehas, son of Eleazar, said to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manassites, "Today we know that the Lord is among us because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have saved the Israelites from the hand of the Lord." Then the priest Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and the chiefs returned from the Reubenites and the Gadites in the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the Israelites and brought back word to them. The report pleased the Israelites, and the Israelites blessed God and spoke no more of making war against them to destroy the land where the Reubenites and the Gadites were settled. The Reubenites and the Gadites called the altar witness, for they said, "It is a witness between us that the Lord is God." Joshua exhorts the people. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies all around, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, their elders and heads, their judges and officers, and said to them, "I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for us. I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes, those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be steadfast to observe and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right nor to the left, so that you may not be mixed with these nations left here among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow yourself down to them. But hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no one has been able to withstand you to this day. One of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God, for if you turn back and join the survivors of these nations left here among you and intermarry with them so that you marry their women and they yours, know assuredly that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a scourge on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land that the Lord your God has given you." And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. But just as the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the bad things until he has destroyed you from this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he enjoined on you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land that has been given to you. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? How might we read Joshua's admonishment to the Israelites that while God may have blessed them, if they transgress the covenant, God will curse them with the same vigor? I'm reminded of the sermons of Moses prior to entry into the promised land. How does this inform us about the character of God? When reading the Bible as a whole, how are we to balance what we are told about God and what God does? Now let's move to Titus 1-3. Salutation. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is in accordance with godliness and the hope of eternal life that God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. In due time, he revealed his word through the proclamation with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true child in the faith, we share grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Titus in Crete. I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remained to be done and should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Someone who is blameless, married only once, whose children are believers, not accused of debauchery and not rebellious. For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or addicted to wine or violent or greedy for gain, but he must be hospitable, a lover of goodness, self-controlled, upright, devout, and restrained, holding tightly to the trustworthy word of the teaching, so that he may be able to both exhort with sound instruction and to refute those who contradict it. There are also many rebellious people, idle talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what it is not right to teach. It was one of them, their very own prophet, who said, "Cretans are always liars, vicious brutes, lazy gluttons." That testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply, so that they may become sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths or to commandments or of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Teach sound doctrine. But as for you, teach what is consistent with sound instruction. Tell the older men to be temperate, serious, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and in endurance. Likewise, tell the older women to be reverent in behavior, not to be slanderers or to enslave to much wine. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good managers of the household, kind, submissive to their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled in all things, offering yourself as a model of good works in your teaching, offering integrity, gravity, and sound speech that cannot be censored. Then any opponent will be put to shame, having nothing evil to say of us. Urge slaves to be submissive to their masters in everything, to be pleasing, not talking back, not stealing, but showing complete and perfect fidelity, so that in everything they may be an ornament to the teaching of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety in worldly possessions, and in present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one look down on you. Maintain good deeds. Remind them to be subjects to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the waters of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure, I desire that you insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes division, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. Final message and benediction. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, to do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Make every effort to send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they lack nothing. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unproductive. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Paul lists several traits to be taught as sound instruction. He provides guidance on how one ought to behave. How does this teaching align with the teachings of Jesus? Is there a hierarchy when looking at the Gospels next to the epistles? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.